I recognize that our air conditioning is not working this morning, and that we're under some constraints with regard to the heat. But with the doors open, it's a lot better than it was one time before. And we appreciate the fact that you're here and willing to be with us, even under these circumstances. We had discussion a little bit in class this morning about Solomon and about wisdom. And so what we'd like to do is talk about Solomon and how he was respected for his wisdom. And get back to the first scripture, 1 Kings chapter 3. And as we look at 1 Kings chapter 3, we recognize that this is the time when Solomon began to reign after David had passed away. And he had a number of things to say about that. As it introduces chapter 3, it talks about his other wives, Pharaoh's daughter, and those are the things that caused him to stray, as we recognize, in his life. And he was the wisest man, the Bible says, that ever lived. And yet, even wise people can sometimes do foolish things. I've been asked a lot of times, do I believe that Solomon went to heaven or went to paradise when he died? And I'll just tell you, I don't know. But that's God's business, and we'll let God tend to Solomon while we tend to ourselves. And so in chapter 3 of 1 Kings, it talks about the fact, beginning in verse 3, Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burned incense in the high places. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued that great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on the throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am like a little child. I do not know how to go out or to come in. Your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people of yours?" The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon asked for this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing, and have not asked for long life for yourself, nor asked for riches for yourself, nor have asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, behold, I have done." Brother Sam is... Okay.
We're up and running.
All right, thank you. All right. Sorry for the interruption, but it's a good interruption. The air conditioning is now working, so we'll be able to cool off a little bit. I'm in the middle of 1 Kings chapter 3, where Solomon asked for a witness. And in verse 12, "Behold, I have done according to your word. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so there's not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among kings all your days." So this is a wonderful thing that God and Solomon communed together, and that he asked for the right things. James chapter 1 and verse 5 says, "If you lack wisdom, ask of God, who gives generously to all, without finding fault, and it will be given to him." This is sort of difficult to read on that passage, but in James 1 and verse 5, you have the truth of that. Ask God for wisdom. And wisdom is not miraculous today as it was with Solomon. God gave Solomon a great amount of wisdom, and he was able to use that in his reign. Of course, you remember the first time he used that was when the two mothers were fighting over the child. And Solomon solved that problem by who was going to have the child. He said, "Just cut the child in two, in pieces, and give it to both of them." Well, the real mother said, "No, give it to the other woman," because she didn't want her child to be killed. And this said to Solomon, in his wise understanding, that the true mother had wanted to spare that child and gave the child to the true mother. And so he began to use that wisdom in many ways. And the book of Proverbs is one of the books that he gave to us. And so if you turn to the book of Proverbs, I'm going to be using quite a bit of information on that this morning. And in Psalm 16, and in verse 16, Solomon said, "How much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver." So wisdom is something that is to be desired by all of us, and the Bible tells us that God used wisdom in the creation of the earth. And God uses wisdom in contacting with us, and so we have that understanding. So wise men still seek instruction from God's Word. We had a good lesson this morning, Brother Parvin was teaching in 2 Timothy. And as you look at that, you understand again, by God giving us the complete Word, that He gave us wisdom. And if we'll read the Scriptures and understand them, we have wisdom about life and those things. But turning back to the Proverbs again, this time in Proverbs chapter 12 and in verse 15, Solomon said, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame." And so you understand that he's giving advice. And then in chapter 9 and verse 9, we also have another scripture that I'd like to use to illustrate that. He said in verse 9, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he'll be wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." So all those things are something that we can understand and appreciate. And then in the Proverbs 8 and verse 33, "Hear instruction and be wise, do not disdain it." And so we have a number of scriptures that advocate wisdom in our lives, and we have to understand that. Now going back to the first chapter of Proverbs, we have instruction as it is a man instructing his son, and he speaks with that to that understanding. I want to read just a little bit. He said in verse 2, "To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. The wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles." But then he says in verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." When I was in Florida, I had a study with a man whose wife is very faithful. He used to come, but he's quit. But he always comes to pick up his wife after services, and so I use that occasion to go out and talk with him. And I ask him, "Are we going to have to go off to heaven and leave you behind?" And he said some foolish things. He said, "Well, I don't want to go to hell, but I don't like heaven." And I couldn't understand that. And I finally approached the subject of baptism, and he said, "No, I've never been baptized. But," he said, "I just don't want to." Well, that's foolish. We're going to die. We're going to meet God in judgment. 2 Timothy chapter 3 affirms that in chapter 4. That we're going to have to meet God in judgment, and we have to give an answer for the things that we've done in our lifetime. I was not able to help him, and others have talked to him as well. He seems determined to go to hell. I don't understand it. I can't understand anybody could read the Bible and not be wise enough to know there's a bad place and a good place, and I'd rather go to the good place. But these are the scriptures that Solomon is saying, and again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fools despise wisdom and understanding. And we've seen that, the way people live today. You recognize that. I saw a man on the internet this last week, he said he just loved aborting children. He just loved aborting children. Well, since the Roe versus Wade lawsuit permitted that, there have been over 62 million children murdered in our country. And we think that's barbaric. But we have people that do that for their own self-gratification. Plus, they do things to make money for Planned Parenthood. And I heard recently that the Girl Scouts support with money Planned Parenthood. You see how deeply that is entangled down in our society. And it makes one sick to the heart to think about that being done even while we speak. That's taking place. And so we have the fear of the Lord must occupy the first place in our life. And the statement is, the greatest visible evidence of the fear of God is obedience to God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And certainly that's true. The fear of the Lord is not an abject fear of terror, but it's the respect and awe of who He really is. We must know and understand that God is in charge. I believe my friend in Florida does not understand that God is in charge. And he just thought, I can't take in how strict God is and how He wants us to obey Him. And so he's sort of proud about that, and he's not willing to do as he should. But we need to learn obedience and submission to the Lord, because He is our God. And so in Psalms chapter 111 and verse 10, the wise man said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. So I think we're agreed in this room this morning that it's a good thing to have wisdom, and it's a good thing to have the wisdom of God, not just the wisdom of the world. I'll never be an Einstein, somebody who could talk about the theory of relativity and seem to know what he was talking about. I'll never be that smart as far as math is concerned, but I want to know the Scriptures and be familiar with them. I'm sure that we're going to meet the Word, who is Jesus, in heaven. I would like for him to know that I have loved and respected the Word that he gave to us, because that's wise and we need to understand that. And of course, you remember the story of Job and what they went through, and the fact that Job learned some things through his suffering that he finally admitted to. And so the fear of the Lord is important as we look at that. And serving the Lord is really important. I don't think people today in America understand serving. I'm sure some do. But I put this picture up that I found about so-called Jesus, and I know that's not the picture of him, but him washing the disciples' feet. And the idea of the Lord God Almighty, who spoke the word and all the world came into being, he got down on his knees and washed the disciples' feet. And he said that we're to do the same thing toward others. So that means I'm to respect you and be willing to serve your needs as a Christian, and that's what we're supposed to do. So there's no greater evidence of spiritual wisdom than service, and our love of God will reserve in serving Him first. That's why we're here this morning. This is a service that we're giving to the Lord. And His example of service shows us the way that He washed the disciples' feet. Going back to the book of Psalms again, and there's so many scriptures that would prove this, I'd like to pick out just one or two and to look at that. So in the book of Psalms, chapter 2, beginning with verse 10, "Now therefore be wise, O kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish in the way, when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are those who put their trust in Him." The phrase in verse 12, "kiss the Son," is the idea of worship. The worship means to kiss toward, or to acknowledge your debt in that. So we look at that, and we recognize the need of service to God and to the church and to God's people, wherever they're to be found. Also, doing God's will. And I mentioned a while ago my discussion with a man in Florida, only a fool would refuse to do what God says to do. And I heard that man say that. And the wise man endures God's word. In Matthew 7, it talks about the man who built his house upon the sand. The winds came and the floods descended and it washed away that foundation. But if you build your foundation upon the rock, and of course, that is something that's teaching a spiritual lesson, just not house building. And the idea is that we build our house upon Christ. And that's why he said to Peter, when Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," in Matthew 16, he said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock," not Peter, but upon the rock of that confession that he's the Son of God, that's what the church is built upon. And that's what we understand. That's why we serve the Lord in the church. But also continuing to serve God and learning some things. I went down to Weatherford quite a few years ago to meet with an esteemed older preacher who was holding the meeting down there. And we went by a little bit early to visit with him since I'd known him a good while. And I asked him what he was studying now. He said, "Oh, I've quit studying. I don't study anymore. My mind is made up." And it shocked me that he would say that. That he would say, "I don't study anymore." I believe Christians need to study till the day they die. You keep learning things. And many, many times I've been reading through the scriptures and I will see how one scripture explains another scripture. And as I keep reading, more and more that takes place. It's not that I don't know enough to go to heaven, but there's so many truths, it's a treasure house of things that I want to know about. And so when you look at the book of Proverbs and this man begins to teach his son about wisdom, he warns against the women of the night and warns about other things that his son needs to be careful and to not embrace. And I need that exhortation. We talked about exhortation this morning. As long as I live, I'll need to be encouraged and exhorted to live the way I should. So the more we learn, the better equipped we're going to be. When I first was baptized, I understood that I needed to be saved. But I didn't know anything like I've learned since then, and I'm still learning. And the idea is that when you obey the gospel of Christ and you begin to learn, you're better equipped to handle things. As a young man, when I obeyed the gospel, I didn't know anything about God's teaching on marriage. I didn't understand doctrinal things. I didn't understand some of the big errors that were taking place during that time period. But as I kept studying, I recognized that. And so you learn that here comes error, here comes false teaching. And the only way that I can recognize that is because I know what the Bible says. So when somebody says other than the Bible, my alarm bells go off. I can tell the difference between truth and error. And the Hebrew writer talked about being able to discern between right and wrong as we get older. And so that's what we should always do. So back to the book of Proverbs again, this time in chapter 18. And some of you are probably already there. But I'll go to Proverbs 18 and verse 15. Here the wise man says, "The heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge." And that's true for me. We have gospel meetings, and I listen to the preachers because I need the preaching myself. I preach to others at times, but someone is able to bring out things that maybe I hadn't thought about, and that certainly helps. And so then in chapter 15 and verse 14, we have another thing that we need to understand. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. And so if you're wise, you'll seek knowledge. You'll be hungry after the truth. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled." You'll have a satisfaction of being able to know the truth and discern between truth and error that we need to really understand. And so we need to have careful talk when we're wise. The spiritual wise watch what they say. And so our words tell others who we really are. Who we really are. I'll never forget when I was working with one. I had two jobs and going to college at the same time. But a salesperson came into the office where I was working and he told me a dirty joke. And I didn't laugh. And he said, "How come you didn't laugh at that joke?" And I said, "Well, I thought it was wrong. It's not wrong to tell that kind of story." And I told him, "I'm a member of the Church of Christ, and I don't appreciate those kinds of things." And you know what he said? "I'm a member of the church too. And I shouldn't have done that. And with your reaction, I'm going to clean up my act." And so I don't like to hear that stuff. I mean, it's bad on television now. I hear words that I never imagined would be hearing. I hear situations of things going on that are so bad. But here's a really good thing that I put up. Before you speak, think. And I saw one sign one time that it's before you mess something up, T-H-I-M-K. Before you mess something up, well, he had already messed it up with the word M, letter M instead of N, but the T of think is it true? And you ask yourself every time you say something, is it true? The H, is it helpful? The I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? And K, is it kind? And I think those are pretty good principles to go by. And I'm sure that everybody on website, everybody on Facebook uses this. Don't you think so? I've heard such terrible, terrible things on Facebook. And I hit the delete button real often because of that. But here's a really good principle to live by in our lives and understand that. And so the spiritual wise watch what they say in that. And I'm moving on. Went backward for just a moment. So now go forward. And winning souls for Christ. That's so important, especially for a young, a little church like we are. God wants everybody to be saved, and we know some that are lost. And so we need to be a soul winner. In Acts 5, daily in the temple and in every house, the early disciples ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And we don't do that. When Paul came to town, he either started a revolution, a riot, or a church. We're too polite. I don't do that. And I recognize that Paul went to prison because of what he did. But one thing that I'm trying to do, and I've mentioned to you a number of times, is pass out the cards for the website, because that's your job now. And don't leave this building without some cards, because there are lost people out there. And some of your friends and some of your family. And when I went to Florida, I passed out all my cards. I wished I'd taken more. And you give them to people that you meet. You give them to people when you pay your bill. Please do that. Think about it and plan to do that. Because you're telling people to go to a place where there's news of salvation. There's wisdom things there. We haven't yet, Brother Sam, we haven't yet loaded up all the sermons that have been preached here. Some of them have not been recorded, and some of them are not yet on CDs, but we're going to work on that. But I talked with a webmaster, Kevin Greer. He asked me, I need a volunteer for something that he asked me to do. He's putting up Jerry Feit's Audible Bible. He's down to the point now where he's doing 1st and 2nd Corinthians, but he's going to finish the entire New Testament, pardon me, and then start on the Old Testament. He'd like someone to go to the website and listen to each of these chapters, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts, and Romans, and listen to be sure that it's coming through clear, that he hasn't messed something up. So what he's done, he's taken the CDs that I've sent him, and he has ripped those and compiled them in such a way he can put them on the website, but he wants to be sure they're listenable. So I'd like a volunteer to tell me after services that you're going to take time to go to the website and listen to the audio Bible to be sure that it's correct as it ought to be. And we need to be comfortable talking to others about salvation. Saving souls is our goal. John 15, verse 2, talks about bearing much fruit. If you're really His disciples, you'll bear much fruit. And then the final one, we're all going to die someday. Some are closer than others, but the wise will make sure that they're ready. As much of the Old Testament, such as Amos 4, verse 12, and many others that speak about that, we don't get another chance. When we die, that's all of it. I've laughed at the Hollywood star, that woman that says that she's had about 15 different lives. She's been reincarnated 15 times, and it's her vivid imagination. It's not the truth. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed for man once to die, and then the judgment. We're not going to come back time after time after time. The Hindus believe that, but it's certainly not true. Matthew 25 speaks of the fact that we'll have no other chance because we die, and we either go to one place or the other. So Solomon prayed for an understanding heart, and God granted him that, and he showed his wisdom many times. So we ought to pray for wisdom. James 1 tells us to pray for wisdom and then to put it into practice. And so the signs of the spiritual wisdom that we're talking about this morning is the fear of the Lord. And we can have that. Serving the Lord, we're doing that this morning. Doing God's will, show that we love Him. Seeking knowledge, because Jesus said if we hunger and thirst after knowledge, we'll be filled. Being careful how we talk. Also winning souls for Christ, and finally preparing for death. And these are wise things that each of us can do. So I commit you this morning to the lesson in the hopes that you'll certainly recognize that these things are something that's really important that we all need to do.